يَوْمَ تَأْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تُجَادِلُ عَن نَفْسِهَا وَتُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا عَمِلَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ
Allah's judgment will come about them all on the day when everyone shall come pleading in his defense, and everyone shall be fully requited for his deeds, and none shall be wronged in the least.
وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ
Allah sets forth the parable of the people of a town who were secure and content and whose sustenance came in abundance from every quarter. But then the people of the town showed ingratitude towards Allah for His bounties. So Allah afflicted them with hunger and fear in punishment for their evil deeds.
وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَأَخَذَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ
Most certainly, a messenger came to them from among them, but they rejected him, calling him a liar. Therefore, chastisement seized them while they engaged in wrongdoing. There are no clear indications that help one identify the town alluded to in the previous verse. Even commentators on the Quran have been unable to identify it. It is Ibn Abbas's opinion that the town referred to in the parable is Makkah itself. As for the hunger and fear mentioned in the verse, this possibly refers to the famine that held the Meccans in its grip for quite some time after the advent of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
فَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاشْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ
So eat out of the lawful and good sustenance that Allah has bestowed upon you, and thank Allah for His bounty, if it is Him that you serve. So eat out of the lawful and good sustenance that Allah has bestowed upon you, and thank Allah for His bounty. We thus learn that the famine mentioned above had come to an end by the time the present surah was revealed. If it is Him that you serve. The believers are directed to abstain from deciding on their own what is lawful and what is not. They may partake of all that God has declared to be lawful and good, and should give thanks to Him. Conversely, they should abstain from all things unlawful in the law of God.
إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل لغير الله به فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فإن الله غفور رحيم
Allah has forbidden you only carrion and blood and the flesh of swine, also any animal over which the name of any other than Allah has been invoked. But whoever eats of them under compelling necessity, neither desiring it nor exceeding the limit of absolute necessity, surely for such action Allah is ever forgiving, most merciful.
But whoever eats of them under compelling necessity, neither desiring it nor exceeding the limit of absolute necessity, surely for such action Allah is much forgiving, most merciful.
The same command recurs elsewhere as well. See Al-Baqarah 2, 173, Al-Ma'idah 5, 3 and Al-An'am 6, 119.
وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ إن الذين يفترون على الله الكذب لا يفلحون.
And do not utter falsehoods by letting your tongues declare, this is lawful and that is unlawful, thus fabricating lies against Allah. Surely those who fabricate lies against Allah will never prosper. And do not utter falsehoods by letting your tongues declare, this is lawful and that is unlawful, thus fabricating lies against Allah. The verse lays down categorically that no one other than God has the authority to declare something lawful or otherwise. In other words, God alone is the lawmaker. If anyone else makes bold to declare on his own certain things to be lawful and others unlawful, he certainly goes beyond his legitimate limits. No such statements may be made unless one can demonstrate that such opinions are based on God's commands. By arrogating the right to declare things lawful or unlawful, one becomes guilty of inventing lies against God. For anyone who declares certain things to be lawful and others unlawful is guilty of any one of the following. He will either claim that his declarations of lawful and unlawful are in accordance with God's own declarations. Alternatively, he will claim that God has withdrawn his own prerogative to give man the law which he might follow and has thereby now delegated it to man himself. In either case, the statement is false and is tantamount to inventing lies against God.
متاع قليل ولهم عذاب أليم.
Brief is their enjoyment of the world, and thereafter they shall suffer a painful chastisement.
وعلى الذين هادوا حرمنا ما قصصنا عليك من قبل وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ.
We have already recounted to you what we prohibited to the Jews. In so doing, we did not wrong them. It is they who wronged themselves. All this is in response to the objections that were being made against the above-mentioned command, viz., to consider God alone to be the lawgiver. The Meccan unbelievers pointed an accusing finger towards the Muslims, charging that they had made lawful many a thing which was unlawful in the Old Testament. They further agreed that if the Mosaic law was also from God, then the Muslims were themselves guilty of violating God's law. They also pointed out that if the law revealed to Moses and the law revealed to Muhammad, peace be upon him, were both from one and the same source, God, how can one explain the differences between them? Another major objection they made was that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had dispensed with the law of Sabbath, which figures in the Old Testament. The kernel of their objection was that there were now two possibilities of which the Muslims had to choose one. They should either admit that they had changed one of God's laws out of their own volition, or they should admit that they acknowledge that God gave two contradictory commands in two different versions of His law.
We have already recounted to you what we prohibited to the Jews.
This alludes to the following verse in Al-An'am 6:146. And to those who had Judaized, we have forbidden all beasts with claws. The verse in fact mentions that it was because of the continual disobedience of the Jews that certain things which were originally lawful were made unlawful for them as punishment for their misdeeds. This, however, poses a problem. In the above verse, as we have seen, reference is made to a verse of Al-An'am. This would imply that Surah Al-An'am was revealed prior to the revelation of the present Surah. However, in Al-An'am, we also come across the following verse. And how is it that you do not eat of that over which Allah's name has been pronounced, even though He has clearly spelled out to you what He has forbidden you? Al-An'am 6:119. This seems to clearly refer to Al-Nahl. For of the Meccan surahs, Al-Nahl is the only surah apart from Al-An'am which enumerates in some detail which things are unlawful. This raises the question as to which the two surahs, Al-Nahl or Al-An'am, was revealed earlier. In our opinion, Al-Nahl was revealed earlier, and it is to this surah that reference is made in the above-mentioned verse of Al-An'am. At a later stage, the Meccan unbelievers leveled objections against verses of Al-Nahl, which we have referred to.
At that time, Al-An'am had already been revealed. By way of rejoinder, it was pointed out that the matter had been clarified earlier, that is, in Al-An'am. That clarification consisted of stating that certain things had been made unlawful, especially for the Jews. However, since the objection had been made with regard to some of the contents of Al-Nahl, the rejoinder was subsequently included as a parenthetical statement in Al-Nahl itself.
ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا إِنَّ رَبَّكَ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا لَغَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
But to those who commit evil out of ignorance and then repent and amend their ways, thereafter, your Lord will be much forgiving, most merciful.